All right, Jim Taylor back on WRMJ Alito and WRMJ.com. It's a privilege to have Mark Nestler in the WRMJ studios this morning, a long storied print journalism career here in the area. And I guess the time before we talk a little bit about some of the IHSA stuff, but kind of sell your product a little bit of people have an opportunity. If they haven't had a newspaper subscription, here's a chance to sell your product and promote your online presence as well.
QCOnline.com is a front runner of bringing news to the online product. I think that and we've really steered our work toward that end. The Argus and the Dispatch, as far as sports goes, the number of years that we have on our staff is just incredible. And that even goes to our part-time staff, where Terry Duckett's been there decades. Yeah. And I think that goes to say of about our workplaces is that we have fun. It's work, but it's also fun. I just watched It's a Wonderful Life at Circa. And the opening line that the guy sings is, "I'm a lucky man, I'm a lucky one, I'm a chosen one. I get paid for doing something that I do, or something that I love to do." And I'm thinking, you know what? That's newspaper business right there. That's the Argus and the Dispatch, being able to do something that you love. So,
well, and I tell people that, you know, that the print product to me is still so important. You know, one of my favorite stories is, I think it was last fall, my son plays for Mercer County, and we were playing, I think, Annawan Weathersfield, and there's a picture of him on the front page of the sports page, a beautiful color.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Weathersfield.
Yes. Yeah, I remember that.
And my mother, who lives in Hampton, you know, it's 7:05 in the morning, calling me up on Saturday. "Hey, Ty's on the front of the sports page, the Argus Dispatch." And it's things like that, to me, that are so important in the pace setter and all the game stories.
I thought it was really cool when I was 9 and 10 years old, way back when. When they used to put Little League box scores, which of course now aren't going to make it there because everything else is there. But to see your 9 and 10 year old, and you see your name in the paper then.
Well, and that's a big part, you know. And I don't want to talk about some IHSA stuff, but you always bring up these things we can segue to. You know, scrapbooks are still so big.
Yes, they really are.
And you can't have a scrapbook without what? Without a newspaper,
right? And you can like and favorite your mention of a sports tweet, you know, often, but unless you screenshot it, you know,
right.
And I even have people on my staff that don't know how to screenshot. I have to do it for them.
Imagine what they would do with the couplers, man. Well, you know, that brings up another point, and we are involved here a little bit. We don't have a pace setter, but, you know, about recognition that is given to certain kids. You know, there's some people that always feel kind of shortchanged of, and I know you guys have the unenviable task of trying to have the athlete of the year for a different sport pace setter. Do you ever hear, you know, I'd like to hear some behind the scenes stuff. Do you ever hear some like, "Nestler, you no good. Why didn't this person, why wasn't he pace setter? Wasn't he player of the year?"
We get a lot of that. We get enough of it. Let me put it that way.
We hear the same stuff about some of the stuff we do.
But you really have to do your homework to be able to defend the selections that you make. Now, pace setter is a little bit different because we need to really spread that around.
Yeah,
we had, you know, Mercer County 3 weeks in a row, you know, Sherrard and Rock Ridge and Orion wouldn't be too happy. So if we had, you know, girls basketball 3 weeks in a row, mm-hmm. then, you know, the other sports, the boys basketball or the wrestling, won't be too happy. So you really need to watch that, both in the metro area and in the rural area. The player of the year, though, is something that we really have some knockdown dragouts on the staff as to, I mean, we just had it for metro football. We ended up with Dakari Mars of UT, who had like 1,800 yards of rushing, but he played for a 2-7 team. Now, that's like Steve Carlton being the MVP and when he played for the last place Philly. Was it the Phillies?
Yeah,
so it's the same thing. And there's been times we delayed that naming of that team for that reason because we couldn't agree among our own staff. And we get coaching input. Sometimes coaches will say we don't get enough input from them. But it's really...
That's a tough job.
It's a tough... That, to me, is one of the toughest things that we do, is to name the best of something. And here's another thing. A couple of our staff members say, well, why don't we name two or three of them? And I absolutely, you know... To
then where
me,
does it end then?
Yeah, where does it end? I mean, we would do that every single time. So I tell them, I said, you got to pick one. And there was one time we had three bowlers, and you really couldn't differentiate, and one from Rocky, one from Olean, one from UT, one from each one. And I said, and every argument we had, you know, let's say the Moline kid, well, we had arguments from the other two. What if it was you? We had the arguments from the other two. That's the one time I broke down and I said, you know what? You're right. We have to do all three. And that's the easy way, and I absolutely hated it. I hated it.
Well, I can imagine the discussions. That has to be so challenging, and especially when you talk about, you know, I would think the Metro is a little bit easier, but then I back up and say, man, you're dealing with Rock Island, Moline, UT,
but it really,
Rocky, maybe it's not. But then, but for the rural area,
there's
you know,
a
when
lot
you're covering,
more teams.
Yeah,
there's
that's
a lot
what I'm
more
saying.
Teams,
that's
and
a
there's
big
a lot more
area.
Levels of success. I mean, well, the problem we had this year. We named Orion Zellison as our player of the year.
I thought a deserving choice.
And it was a deserving choice, but in our arguments along the way, we could make cases for A&W, you know, Anawan Weathersfield. We could make cases for several other teams that were equally as compelling. And it came down to, again, that mean old sports editor saying, you know, we have to pick one.
But, I mean, but hey, can you... Relay. I mean, what's the worst like anger, that venom that you've ever heard from somebody about, like a pace setter or a player of the year or whatever?
I can easily, Jimmy, easily.
You don't have to hit us with this.
No, it was a football team. It was a Metro football team, and somehow, some way, no idea how it happened. We left off. Well, no, it's actually happened twice. It happened for a Metro baseball and for a Metro football team. We left off somebody that obviously and clearly should have been included.
Oh, okay.
And
just an oversight?
And I hope it was an oversight. I really, in one case, I don't know what happened, and I don't know if we just overlooked them, didn't write the name down. But you talk to those parents who'll call in, what answer do I have?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have an answer. And my answer is the easy thing to do. We have to rerun it. And you don't want to do that to your company because you got to pay that full, a full page color.
So you had to rerun it then?
We reran it both cases.
How many years ago was that?
One was, I will tell you, one of them was Coach Tracy's kid, who was a really good baseball player.
At
Allaman. Yeah, and he was a third baseman. And as a matter of fact, he could have been considered for player of the year honor, and that's the one where I'm saying
but there's so many names though you deal with though on those teams, and I can see it happening, and that's the one dominant situation I see where, man, that's a lot asking a lot for a staff to do all those teams every year, and from a
sports editor's point of view, I'm putting a lot of trust in my writers my team of writers who come up with these teams.
Yeah.
I get the final approval, and you know, as I'm going through it, I'm not looking for that. I'm looking to make sure all the names are spelled right, that all the positions are filled, that there's enough school representation. You know, we try to have at least, you know, we're like a Major League Baseball all-star team where you have to have some, you know, we try to get somebody on there. But then, it's like, how did that guy not get on it? So, we reran.
But I can see, I mean, because you're dealing with all those teams, because you're doing track, boys and girls. Like in the spring, for example, you're doing girls soccer in the spring.
Yeah.
You're doing
baseball, softball.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's
Metro and rural. So there's a lot there. But thank God Coach Tracy, Mike Tracy, is a good friend of mine. And I might add a wannabe sports writer.
Yeah.
Even though he got into education and athletic directors and coaching,
I know he
would really be rather sitting here on a Saturday morning being interviewed about sports writing.
I'm always careful when I say this. Is there a certain personality when you look back over your career you really enjoyed covering? You know, for me, the perspective is there's guys I cover that I say, man, that dude should have won it, or that girl should have won it all, and they didn't.
Athletically?
Well, just like a coach, a personality, or something. I mean, the relationships you've built over the years. What do you look back on and say, boy, I really enjoyed working with this guy or this girl, or I enjoyed this professional relationship.
There's just so many. That's the best thing about this job is dealing with the kids. I would rather talk to a kid after a game than a coach, because a kid's going to be honest. And you look after him. You don't, if he says something stupid, you don't use that quote.
Yeah.
You have to look after him. If he uses the wrong English language, like says I did good instead of I did well, to me, I'll correct that to make him look like I was saying it. Maybe that's a thing that I shouldn't do, but I do that because they're kids. There's just so many over the years. I wouldn't even know where to start. I mean, I could go to every team from Sherrard to Rock Island to Moline to Alma to Rock Ridge and say, you know what? I remember there were some great kids that were really nice. But the hardest one for me is the one that's the very end of the road, the last game, or a very emotional loss, and you got to ask that kid, the tough questions, and it's almost to the point where I'm as emotional as they are, and yet you got to maintain your professional. Yeah. I remember it was real early; it was like in the 80s, and Alleman was playing basketball, and the kid was at the foul line with no time on the clock, and his team down by one. And he missed them both. And it was at Rock Island Fieldhouse. And I'm thinking, you know what? I could take the easy way out. I could just ask the coach, the layup questions about, pressure and stuff. But I decided, I was going to go talk to that kid that missed the two free throws. And it was one of the best decisions I made, because the kid gave me what it felt like to be in that situation. And, you don't always succeed. And he didn't succeed. Mm-hmm. But just to be in that spot was worth something to him, and it was a learning experience. And it turned out to be a really good story, and I'm so glad I went into the locker room. Something I didn't think I was going to do, and I didn't know if I had the guts to do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tough asking a kid about failure. But the way – and I wouldn't have – if he'd have gave me something that wasn't usable, I wouldn't have gone that direction. But what he gave me was so good – that I had to go in that direction. I always tell my writers when they come back in the office, I want to know what's the first thing you can't wait to tell me when you get into the office. And I better find that at the top of your story.
Yeah.
If that's the one thing that you can't wait to tell me, why is it down toward the end? It's the thing that you're excited about when you first come back into the office. You can't wait to tell me something. And so, and I try to listen to my own advice. UT was playing a girls' basketball game, and I'm not going to mention names, but they were 0-9, and Galesburg was 9-0. And so going in, you think, okay, how am I going to write this story? I mean, it's going to be lopsided, and it was. It was like a 40-point game, and it's toward the end of the game, and I have no idea where I'm going to go with this other than the boring, this team's really good and this team's really not. Well, they had a freshman, turned out to be a really great player there at the school. She checks in to the bench to get her 35 seconds of fame in a lopsided game. And it was her first varsity game. And she checks in and takes off her warm-up, but she didn't have a warm-up. She took her jersey top off and had a sports bra like the USA World Cup game.
Soccer, yeah.
The Brandi Chastain thing. And God bless the coach, calls a quick timeout, quick huddle, gets the jersey back on. And I'm thinking, what's the first thing I would talk about when I went back to the office? It's that.
Yeah.
And how do I incorporate? And I somehow worked that into my lead of that story is you never know how that career is going to blossom, and she really did become a great player.
Yeah. I'm talking with Mark Nestler with the Argus Dispatch, 40-plus years in the business. When I came out of the break, I said I wanted to get your observation. We've talked to segue to so many other things, but the public-private issue, I mean, you're in the metro Quad Cities. I mean, that's always an issue out here because if a –
Because you don't have a private school.
Yeah, because a public school that runs into a private school, and normally it's in the postseason, and the season comes to an end.
And the private school's got smaller numbers, so therefore it's going to be in the class with the rural teams. And I can see that. And they've played all year in a larger environment.
Big Six.
I'm talking about Alleman. You know what? In 40 years, I don't know that I've ever seen Alleman actively recruit a star player like they probably could. Do they get players from other? Absolutely. The Matakevich kid, I think, came from Orion that helped them in the football back when they finished second in the state. But more times than not, I see other public schools getting kids from other public schools. To me, it's a matter of success that if you don't see very many basketball players clamoring to play at Alleman. They haven't had good success in the Big Six recently. But football, you know, sure. Who doesn't want to play for Alleman football? They've gone to the state and they've, you know, it's kind of like I equate it to Chicago, where you have the really good football programs. Mount Carmel comes to my mind back in the 80s and 90s.
Well, they're still good.
But, you know, when kids are in 7th and 8th grade, they tell their parents that they want to play football at Mount Carmel.
Yeah.
And so their parents find a way for them to play football at Mount Carmel. Did they actively recruit them? Probably not. Maybe they did. But the fact is, what recruited them was the success that they had. You know, it comes down to name a sport. Alleman softball, really, really good. If somebody decides that playing softball at Alleman is going to give them a better shot playing beyond their high school years, then they will consider doing that. But the same goes for Rock Ridge. I mean, Rock Ridge has got a really great softball team. And so that, you know, it's if I don't live in the Rock Ridge area, my parents will find a way to make that happen if that's what they want to do.
Now, do you think the IHSA has it right with the success factor now,
or the
multiplier? I mean, is that something you can embrace?
It's really weird. I think the multiplier is really weird in the fact that if you have, it doesn't always apply. It only applies if you have success.
Yeah.
So what you're saying
there is no failure factor.
there's no failure factor. So what it's saying is that you're only a private school being moved up if you're good. Which to me, if you're going to do it, you're going to say, okay, you're a private school, and this is the way it's going to be. Not if you're a private school who happens to have success here and there. But like that's an IHSA thing, and I'll never have a factor in that. So,
well, time is winding down.
And wow, it's been a fast.
Yeah. Yeah, I know
that went about
more.
The fastest.
Could you bring up something I want to?
Fastest hour ever.
Well, and I appreciate. We can do this again down the road.
Oh, love to.
But you see Mark out there. You know, I always tell people. You know, people in this business, they appreciate thank yous too. You know, and a lot of the stuff we deal with, it's always they want to correct something or they want to criticize you for something. But, you know, when you see Makarowicz or Terry Duckett or
Steve Tappa, Tom Johnson, my whole staff.
That's right. And we didn't even get into the John Deere Classic stuff with the
we could do a whole nother hour there.
Yeah, the behind-the-scenes stuff there. But, you know, pat on the back. And I appreciate it as a parent of a student-athlete out here, the coverage that the Argus Dispatch provides to the area schools. I mean, it's great. And like I said,
it's important to us. It really is.
You get street cred. Like I tell people, the only way you get street cred, you got to show up, got to be there, not just once, a lot of times, and that's why I appreciate the Argus Dispatch because they're always out.
We know that our market is the high schools, and that's why we put so much emphasis on it. That's why we cover we cover all the metro, and we try to cover as much rural as we can. Terry Duckett is an amazing human being, coming in, and he'll do some of that.
Winter months than I see my wife.
I love it.
So you're going to make it to 50, aren't you, right? 50 years in the business?
God.
Can you do it or not?
Where are we at now? We're at 40. No, I'm not going to make it to 50.
You're not going to make it to 50?
You know what? Tom Cornelis had 40, I think it was 44 years of John Deere Classic, and I always said I wanted to top him, and I think I'm within 4 years of him. And son of a gun, if he didn't show up last year.
I saw him. I'm like, you didn't retire. You're back working.
No, he retired, And then the guy that took his place quit. Like the week before the John Deere Classic, yeah, and they brought him back, and that made me so mad because I thought, well, here's a year that I can catch up, and if I get like three or four more years, I will, you know, because right now I'm the second most years covered of the John Deere Classic, and Tom Cornelis is the only guy ahead of me, and I'm thinking, gosh, dang it, what's he showing up for?
Well, hey, thanks a lot for coming.
No problem. Really, it really on a Saturday morning, truly my pleasure.
All right, Mark Nestler. Joining us on the WMJ Sports Line on this Saturday morning.